Hello and welcome to the 121st edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
We are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, great 34-7 win on Saturday. Weather was perfect. You know, I think the weather scared away a little bit of the crowd, but did you love the product that was on the field?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, after the disappointment in New Orleans, it was nice to get a nice, comfortable victory against, a fairly good opponent. I mean, Middle Tennessee has always been a tough game for us. I said on the Go Mean Green board, hey, it's a 50-50 proposition every time you play them. So when you come out on the winning side of that, it's really nice. So it felt good to win that game.
The game was played very well. We seemed to have a great plan. The players were coming through. It was great to see Breland do what he did. It was great to see the protection that Derek had during the game. Great to see the pick six. It was a lot of great moments in there. A couple of things kind of stood out in my mind that really drove me nuts was during that block field goal attempt. Great special teams play. Running it back, really, really poor time to a penalty that way.
Yeah, and I think that was Darius Terrell. And
dude, did you see what happened to him when he came over to the sidelines?
I can only imagine.
Holy cow. I wish I had video. I have never seen so many players getting onto a guy off there. I mean, he was hitting his helmet like, I can't believe I did that. And there were guys just up in his face yelling at him. I mean, it was – the team was just really – I mean, you know, then after a little bit, everybody's kind of, you know, helping him shake it off. But, man, they were not happy because it was totally uncalled for. And it was one of those where a guy could have got hurt bad.
And, you know, that's a shame because that's a guy, you know, the Texas transfer, you're looking for big things from him this season. And, you know, he hasn't really been able to make as many plays maybe as he'd hoped. So you wonder if maybe his frustration is playing out. But you just can't afford to make those type of mistakes. And in a close game, that could be, as we learned at that Tulane game, I mean, that can be the difference between a win and a loss. So I know that that's something that this coaching staff focuses on. And they're going to put some heat on guys that don't abide by the rules.
I think one of the things we really wanted to see this week that we've been lacking is the running game. We had 300-plus yards in rushing, led by Brandon Byrd with 139, Reggie Pigram with 88, and Antoine Jimerson with 72. Even Derek Thompson contributed too.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the stats from this game, it looks like a North Texas game. I mean, we had 303 yards rushing. They had 139. We ran the ball like three times as much as they did, 61 attempts versus 27 by Middle Tennessee. North Texas likes to run the ball. We always have. We always will. And when we run the ball effectively, we usually win.
Yeah, it was very interesting game that way that we ran the ball. We were used to seeing that. We were all happy to see that. As much as during the Dick years, we were like, oh, can we throw the ball? I mean, we remember that chant. And was a good mix. But it was good to see that the running game going because we're going to need it in the upcoming games.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the best game passing that Derek Thompson's ever had. No. His stats took a pretty good little sizable hit in that game. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the stats. It's about winning. And if you can win running the ball like that, then that's fine.
But that did move Derek Thompson into the number two all-time passing record at North Texas.
Amazing to think of it.
It really is.
That way, but, you know.
But that says so much to what the running game has meant to this program in the past 20 years.
Yeah, I've kind of been on a realigning my thoughts about Derek this entire season. The guy has overcome some injuries, some adversity, some very difficult performances to really turn out to be one of the top quarterbacks, you know, statistically that North Texas has ever had. Now, what he hasn't done is what guys like Scott Hall have done, and that's go to bowl games and win conference championships. But you just hope you're pulling for Derek to do that this season, and you feel like we might have a chance to do something special under him.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he can lead this team through the rest of the season. We're sitting at 3-3. We are so close. I mean, really close. One field goal away, one touchdown away from being a one-loss team.
Well, you know the last time we were 3-3. I put it on the board.
86?
2003. But still,
I know
what you
mean.
You're talking about a decade ago is the last time this program was sitting at 3-3.
How crazy is that? How crazy is that? And look at Ball State. Ball State has one loss. You don't think they want to do over there?
I had to go back and look at some of those highlights from that game. And of course, we're going to talk about Beyond the Green cover, you know, but that was a big win. We're going to look back at the end of the season and say that was as big a win as we've had in a while.
And, you know, you don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but there's a lot of talk about postseason and bowl games and you know, this heart of Dallas. You know, I don't even want to discuss it yet.
It's premature.
It is premature. But just the fact that we're being mentioned and named on that midway through the season, it's spectacular for the program.
It is, and I think that's why this La Tech game is so huge, because I think if we win the La Tech game and we go to 4-3, and you only need six wins to get bowl eligible, I think talking about a bowl becomes a little bit more reasonable at that point. If we lose to La Tech, then we're right where we were a week before.
Right. And so you got to look at, we've got to win 3 of the last 6 games.
Yes. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, if we take care of business, there's not really, you know, you could argue maybe the Rice game. Rice will probably be favored, but we have them at home.
That's good.
You know, and then the Tulsa game, I mean, Tulsa is Tulsa. They're always going to be tough, but they haven't seemed to be themselves this year. So you just look at the remainder of the schedule. There's not a game in there that you don't feel like we have a chance to win.
That's exactly right. If we can put together the right plays, the right game plan, which we seem to have had because we've been in every game, even the Georgia game going in well into the third quarter, and I know a lot of people like to talk about that, but we're getting publicity. There was an article today in the Dallas Morning News that, you know, just a little extra pub that we usually don't see this time of the year.
I'm telling you, it's more than that, Evan. That is one of those program-changing articles, because Goose Gosselin doesn't just write, you know, you don't get just, you know, fluff from Goose Gosselin. For him to write that article and to say those positive things and to say things like, this is a Division I program that needs to, you need to pay some attention to, means so much. I'm thrilled that he wrote that article, and it's exciting. You can definitely feel a momentum that we haven't felt around here in a while. And again, we're 3-3, we're 500, but you look at it and the losses that we've had, my gosh, I mean, the team performed very well, and those were close losses. If they can just fix a couple of things here and there, there's no reason why we can't win quite a few ball games and get to a bowl game this season.
Right. Well, I think everybody there definitely enjoyed the game. I think the crowd was surprisingly large, I thought, because of the weather. I know it really poured right before the game, like an hour before the game it poured, or an hour and a half. I know a lot of people said, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that out there. And so a lot of people shied away, and it ended up being great. A couple of things that question mark above people's head. The basketball team was presented out there. People were really expecting a lot out of them this year. They were wearing shirts that said NE on there. Do you remember what that meant?
No excuses.
Okay, did you know what that meant when you saw it?
No,
you didn't, because I texted
didn't.
You.
No, okay. I didn't.
And so my wife, being the account that can't leave it behind her, she was trying to search the internet to find out what it was. And then at 10:30 that night, she saw that somebody had posted on the board that it meant no excuses.
Right.
So I wish we would have had a little more story behind that. And if that's their theme for the rest of the year, so be it. But it was, I know a lot of people had question marks above their head. But
it's a little different.
It was a little different. A lot of people were expecting a lot from those guys this year. A couple other things. Hey, I went to the gift shop before the game. When was the last time you've been in the gift shop?
Probably earlier this season.
Okay, so I went in there, and let me tell you.
There's two gift shops, by the way. There's one on the alumni side
right.
and one on
I
the
I went to the one
side.
On the alumni side, the one with the glass. It's also ticket office stuff.
Right.
I have to tell you, man, I'm really impressed with their selection this year. They have a lot of wacky stuff. They got, like, hair things. My daughter loved. There was all sorts of things. There was socks and stuff that you usually don't see. And my hat's off to whoever's doing the marketing and buying the stuff, because the past 2 years, the merchandise in there has really taken a step up.
That's good to hear.
Even from the first year in Apogee, there was the gift shop was packed when I was in there, and there was a lot of interesting items for everybody. So that was really good to see.
Well, that's important. I mean, you want to have, you know, I kind of had a frustrating moment the other night. There's a Marshalls that's kind of near my house that we kind of run and shop at a lot. And I was with my daughter, and there was a section of college t-shirts. And believe it or not, this is a Marshalls in North Dallas, and I saw a UTSA t-shirt.
A UTSA at Marshalls?
A UTSA t-shirt.
The Roadrunners, because the Roadrunner is so remarkable.
I'm telling you, and it was the oddest color you've ever seen. It looked like Denver, almost Denver Broncos color. It was bizarre. And I saw a Texas State t-shirt, and I saw a Houston t-shirt, and I saw a Baylor t-shirt, and of course there was a million UT Texas Longhorn t-shirts, but I did not see a North Texas t-shirt. And sometimes I wonder a little bit about why can't we get North Texas stuff out there better? If UTSA and Texas State are able to work out, finagle some type of deal with a big, you know, outlet like Marshall's, wouldn't you think North Texas would be able to do that themselves? So I'm not trying to start down another road, but that was kind of frustrating to me.
Well, yeah, it was. And I just can't believe that.
The guys in the chat room are saying, did you complain? You know, honestly, I didn't. I was kind of in a hurry and just didn't want to mess with it.
Harry, that's the problem with our fan base. They never have time to complain.
Yeah,
Firefighting Rick might have complained.
You know what? I'm going to go back in there and complain tomorrow.
I think you should. Why don't you post why don't you go ahead and post the address? And we'll all take a different Marshalls, 97 and 03. I'm sure there's some Marshalls where he's at.
UNT 90 says, we aren't Marshalls.
That's right. We aren't Marshalls. Wow. Okay, that's a little dark. All right, so good. Well, you now know where to get UTSA paraphernalia. That's
right.
Great, man. That's great. But anyway, I haven't been to Vortman's yet. Every year I stop at Vortman's and try to get a hat before the season starts. I didn't do it this year, but I need to stop by there. But I was really impressed. Like I said, they had a good selection. So tonight we're going to have on with us the gentleman who is responsible for the Beyond the Green production that we've been watching this year. It's on YouTube. It's on, what's the channel it's on? Because I've been watching it on YouTube.
Well, Fox.
And recording it on there.
So yeah, it's from on the Fox Southwest. Yeah.
So, you know, it's very well produced. It's very professional. You know, at certain points, just because of some of the voiceovers, you kind of feel like it's like one of the old highlight videos from years past and stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's really well done, and you get to see the other side. You get to see players. We haven't really talked about it this much every year, but it really is. I mean, this season we haven't talked about it. But seeing the coaches, seeing the players without helmets on, without jerseys, trying to figure out who's who. I will say one thing, though, man. They covered Daniel Pryor. You need to go back and watch, because his dog looks exactly like Ray.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, man, I think that's Ray.
Ray was black.
It's what his dog was, man. I'm telling you.
That his dog looked brown.
He's been here. They were there at the same time, man. I think he's got Ray.
Are you kidding me?
You need to go back and watch. I'm telling you, man, this is not true. So for those of you who didn't know, a few years ago, Nathan Toon, who was a fan favorite.
Quarterback.
Dog disappeared, and it was a kind of a deal. Everybody was actually, I mean, it was a big deal towards it. So
posted the dog on the board.
There was postings of the dog on the board, and it looked just like Daniel Pryor. I was like, man, they were there at the same time, because Pryor's been around. So I don't think there's, but I mean, you find a lot of stuff like Breland Chancellor's afraid of flying.
And, yeah, he's horrified.
And
of
that
flying.
Was stuff you just don't pick up on. But one of the things on there, and before we start talking to him about it, that made me kind of giggle is they had the coach, offensive line coach. The players were over at his house eating dinner. Quite a spread that they put out for him, and they're all there. And the coach goes, all right, since we don't have any seniors, juniors get to go first. And I was like, man, we don't have any seniors on that offensive line. How great is that?
It's true. I mean, you know, it's a young still, you know, we got a couple juniors that are real important, but the fact that we don't have any seniors, and then also the fact that we have some young guys that are redshirting this year, that offensive line has been a good place for North Texas. That Mike Simmons does a fantastic job. And I just got to say, that episode was probably, and they're all good. I mean, if you haven't watched, everyone in the chat room right now, if you have not watched all the Beyond the Green, you're really missing out, because it gives you an insight into the program that you would not otherwise get. It's really neat. It's a neat show. But I think Mike Simmons does as good a job of any of those assistant coaches not just in recruiting, but in terms of how he develops those offensive linemen. That's really encouraging for the future.
All right, so with that, we're going to take a quick break. For those of you listening via iTunes, you won't notice it. For those of you listening live, just, body break.
Ashton Campbell coming up next.
All right. All right, joining us on the phone, we are lucky to have the creator of this great series that we're enjoying this year, Ashton Campbell. Ashton, appreciate you being with us.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Ashton, I think that all the fans out there would be very happy to know that you are an alum that graduated from the radio, television, and film program that is using the degree to the utmost.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. I graduated from the RTVS department at North Texas in 2003. So it's been great to definitely put my degree to some use over the years and be able to do a show about the team that, I've loved watching since I've been there. So
you have an affinity for New Orleans as well. You were there during the good times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, New Orleans was just like we said in last week's show, New Orleans is associated with winning in, I think, every UNT fan's, a pretty major fan in the early 2000s. I think that's just kind of a city that just goes hand in hand with winning. And that was, I think Patrick Cobb said in our interview, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. And that means we were doing something good if we were going to play in New Orleans every year. And that was the goal.
Yeah, no, I would have probably guessed that you were around those years, how you presented the Tulane game in that episode and the feelings around New Orleans. It was a great show. So, hey, our hats off to you, because this has been really spectacular to see. You've got a good mix of, dealing with the coaches and the players and stories about individuals. Has it been a great experience to follow along this year this close?
Absolutely. It's a little surreal at times, honestly, because I've been lucky enough, to be doing shows like this for about 5 years now, and doing sports documentaries was kind of the end goal. That was my light at the end of the tunnel, to take Patrick's line. And, to do one on my school, it's a little bit surreal at times. I'm there with Coach and hanging out with the players and behind the scenes and, not really taking it all in, or I'm taking it all in, and it's a little bit strange that I'm able to do a school that, I'm on the sideline cheering for the team, while I'm trying to produce the show, as opposed to other times where I've been on the sidelines and, I might be with a different school, and I did some work with SMU for a little while as well, and I didn't really care if they won the game or not, honestly. I really wanted a good show. So I was looking for drama and looking for things to happen, and I think with this show, it is. It's been a great experience to be able to root for the team and be able to cover the team and put the team in the greatest light I possibly can.
So, Ashton, I got to ask you. I mean, obviously, Coach Mack is not the most forthcoming. I mean, he's a great guy. Everybody loves him. But doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's just going to immediately jump into some type of broadcast that goes inside. Can you talk a little bit about how you were able to – forge a relationship with Coach Mack?
It was kind of interesting. I used a little bit of my background to kind of get in the door with Mack. The athletic department did a really good job of reaching out to me and meeting with me, and we had a bunch of conversations about what we were going to do and what their goals were, and maybe the kind of show that I would like to do. And then when I had my meeting with Coach Mack, I had met him before, obviously. I mean, I'd seen him at like a couple events and stuff like that, but he didn't know who I was. And they had one of the shows I'd worked on for about 2.5 years was a show for the Big Ten Network called Big Ten Icons. And it was a show that it was just a 30-minute documentary series episode on certain players or coaches in Big Ten history, and one of which was Barry Alvarez. So I knew this going in with my conversation with Mack that, I did some shows in Iowa, so I knew about Niall Kinnick and stuff like that. So I was going to start throwing some Iowa knowledge out there and Wisconsin knowledge with about Barry Alvarez. And I almost didn't have to. Mack was just extremely welcoming. I think the department did a really good job of telling him ahead of time who was coming in to talk to him and what this person really wanted to do. and what this person and who this person was in terms of an alumni. So I'm not it's not investigative reporting. I'm going to protect them. You know, if something bad happens, I'm not going to try to make them look dumb. I'm going to try to make everything look better or just not show something like that. So I think that when Mac really accepted that as an alumni, and then, you know, we just really got to talking and we had a meeting, and I think, you know, Eric Kappa was sitting to my right. After the meeting, he basically had said, you know, I didn't think I was going to get an award in Edgewise because you and Mac were just going back and forth and talking about Alvarez or Iowa or just, you know, just sports and you know, really anything that entailed. And Mac's really old school. You know, he's a really old school guy. So, you know, he didn't want to get mic'd up on sidelines and stuff like that. But he was very welcoming to, like, come in the locker room. You come to practice. You can do this. You can do that. You know, and I think the rule was, and I kind of told him this at the beginning, is I'm going to stay the hell out of your way. My goal is to not be in your way. And if I can do this show and build a great relationship with you guys and stay out of your way and not hopefully interfere with anything that you're ever doing, then, you know, that's my main goal. Because, again, I love this team and I love the program. So why would I try to harm anything, so to speak? And then with Mac, I think he really welcomed that and he really liked that. And I felt that there was a level of trust that was built early on. And that's the most important thing with these kind of shows, is to know that I'm not going to just do something stupid. And if something is said to a player, foul language, whatever, they know that I'm not going to focus on that, you know, because that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to document, you know, this program's rise to, you know, hopefully a bowl game.
So that, you know, and that's one of the things that we know is got to be really tough, is to walk that line. One of the things that we've always battled is, well, we would do updates of practice and spring ball, and the athletic department did their own little commentary, but you lose a lot of credibility when it's all rainbows and unicorns. And so you need both sides of it. And, you know, there's a lot of times, and Harry will be the first one to tell you, we've deleted posts, we've gotten rid of people, we've got to do a lot of stuff because we don't want to hurt the program. So you got to walk that fine line of pushing the program forward, make it entertaining, but not making it all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. You know what I'm saying? And I think you're walking that line really good.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, yeah, that's, you know, that really is the main goal, is to, you know, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat things and make it you know, I don't want it to be a puff piece. I've used that word a lot when I was describing the show to what I really want to do to the department or to, like, that word. That word puff piece, I think, just because I think that some of these, if you watch, I don't want to take away from any other series out there, but if you watch some of the series of any Texas schools, a couple of them in the past, I don't think they're on anymore, but a couple of them were just, anything good and great that the school was doing, they would want to show. And it was all about how great the school is and how great, everything's still good here and rainbows and unicorns, like you said. I mean, that's a really great way to put it. And even if you love a team, in my opinion, even if you love a team and you want to see them win and you want to see that, you still want to see the adversity and the resiliency and the struggles. I mean, you know, if the team went 0-4 to start the season off, you know, and thank God we didn't, but if we did, it would have been really interesting to chronicle them and how they were going to bounce back from that 0-4. And say they win their next six games, and we've seen this before, you know, 0-5, and then just running the table for the next 3-4 years.
We all remember that.
Yeah, so I mean, how fascinating would it have been to see the behind the scenes for that year? I mean, 0-5, you know, Patrick told me on camera that he thought they stunk. And then, you know, they reel off, what, 25 straight more wins?
That was crazy.
Like that. I mean, you're talking about adversity and resiliency and wanting to see that, and you have to walk that line and make it interesting, and that's where the drama kicks in. I really hope that actually there's a piece that we're doing on tomorrow night's episode that I really think the fans will connect with a lot, and I think that, you know, the fans will really like it. I'm not going to give anything away. I'll leave everything up for imagination there, but it's a piece that's really, you know, there's some emotion to it. You know, like, I don't know, you know, the Freddie Warner piece, I really liked doing that because I thought Freddie was really sad during the interview because he had broken his arm and he got injured again. And I don't think that really is a fascinating story per se, but I think that it's interesting. It's an interesting story because the guy keeps getting injured, and I don't want to label him with anything, but if you keep getting injured, that becomes an interesting story, you know, and that's that fine line again, because injuries are bad. Why would you want to glorify injuries? Well, if it's compelling and it's dramatic and it's a good story, then, you know, I feel like everybody, and the department is really good about this as well. I mean, they want to tell these dramatic stories. They want to have drama in these stories. We want to be talking about players on the team that, you know, have interesting hobbies or had some tragedy in their life. You know, I don't know if anybody knows Marcus Trice's story, but, you know, sometime this season you're going to see a pretty big piece on Marcus Trice. And the guy just had an interesting life, it hasn't been the greatest in the world in terms of people around him. He's lost a lot of members of his life, and it's a really kind of fascinating story, but it's really sad. And, you know, you're talking about walking that fine line. That's not something I think you want to, you know, glorify, but at the same time, letting you guys and letting the fans know who these players are as people, I think is kind of the real the payoff to me. You know, if you guys can relate and walk out of the episode going, man, I really like that Derek Thompson guy, even though you didn't like him before because maybe his stats weren't up to your par or something like that, maybe you walk away after seeing that piece we did in week one, like, okay, that guy takes a lot of heat. I really appreciate that guy. And I think I even saw some of the posts on the message board about people saying, you know, I may come around on DT after watching this episode. And, you know, everybody can sit there and look at him and say that, well, this, that, you know, maybe the stats aren't there, wins maybe, whatever. But, you know, the segment like that kind of, at the end of it, you walk away going, wow, I didn't know that about that guy. And that's the main payoff right there, is that somebody can walk away and say, I had no idea that Coach Simmons has the offensive line group over every once in a while for a big, huge dinner with a bunch of fat guys eating food.
Yeah, that's a lot of Sister Schubert rolls right there. 60.
Man, those guys, man, McKinney can eat some rolls. I saw that firsthand. That guy can power some rolls down. But and those are the fun pieces. You know, you always do things like that. But you know, we're not going to shy away from any drama that happens. And I don't want to. And you know, I might have to based on some kind of reasons or maybe get shot down with a story idea. But I honestly don't foresee that happening right now. I mean, I think the relationship between myself and the program has actually been really great so far. And I feel very welcome there. I go to practice, I shoot practice, I go to these, I go to meetings and stuff like that. And nobody really bats an eye at that. And I think that everybody welcomes that. And to me, that's great because like I said, I've had the opportunity to be around a lot of programs and I haven't felt this welcome in a lot of other places, and for it to be my school and I'm also feeling welcome, it just really makes me love UNT even more, honestly. And so that might sound kind of cheesy, but it you know, the way that Mac treats me makes me like the guy even more.
Well, that,
makes me want
yeah,
to
that's good. Welcome. You might not mention that you actually go on the board because contrary belief, ask anybody up there, nobody at the athletic department actually goes on this board. Evidently, all the hits that we get, and we see the hits from the athletic department, those are evidently coming at night when the janitorial staff is there. Because nobody during the day, we were told, actually goes to this website or sees what's on it. So that's just something you might not want to bring up too much with that group.
Yeah, I try to steer away from stuff like that at times because – I think Chico and I were having a funny talk about that. You know, Chico takes some heat. We all know that. And he's taken some heat, you know, in other stops too. And I think after episode one, some people had some things to say about the show and things that they would change and stuff like that. And I went on there and I was like, man, Chico, you know, I got a couple of interesting complaints about the show. And, you know, we're getting the ball rolling. And yeah, there's some mistakes here and there, but we're going to iron those kinks out. And he goes, man, I told you, don't go on those. Don't go on there. You might not like what you hear or read. And I was like, okay. You know, that's pretty funny. Now I can kind of see what it's like to be somebody like that. But you know, not
yeah,
really,
it's
you know.
If you yeah, there's definitely and you know that's the problem too. I mean, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because you got a lot of wackos over here, and I can give you their names because I'm reading some of them, that will hide behind those IDs, and you never know who they are, and they can just say whatever they want, and that's a problem with social media in general. Well, one of the questions, and actually quite a few people have put it on here today, is How many episodes is this going to be? Or, I mean, because honestly, we're hoping it's a lot more than you anticipated, but how is that going to work out?
Right now, it's a 12-episode series. That was the deal that we made kind of going into it. We decided to do 12 episodes. And then, you know, you kind of hope for that 13th, or, you know, you kind of hope for 14 if you play for a conference championship. That's not 100% determined yet, obviously, a bowl game episode or a conference championship game episode. But, you know, I would do everything in my power to make one of those happen. And I feel like they'd be a necessity. But right now the fans can be assured of, you know, six more episodes, or I guess six more after this week, you know, 12 episodes total. And episode six airs tomorrow night. So.
I think you should do one on the basketball team for real drama.
You know, that's funny that you say that, actually, because there's some stories cooking right now where we might kind of overlap sports a little bit and not dive in and all of a sudden switch gears and go basketball, but we might talk about some other things going around the football or the program or the athletic department. I'm sorry, but you know, if North Texas keeps winning and we're doing. You know, in my opinion, we're a pretty good football team. I'm really pretty happy to say right now that I think that we're a good football team. You know, I think that you guys posted a Goslin's article, I imagine you did, on the board today.
Oh, yeah.
Or yesterday, I guess it was. I mean, that's, you know, I trust that guy. I've never had a chance to really talk to him, but I mean, I hear him on the ticket, you hear him on the radio and stuff like that, and he's a pretty tapped in guy. And I believe during the game broadcast on the radio, he was interviewed up in the booth, is what I heard. I obviously wasn't up there or anything, but I believe that Goose called us the most complete team in the Metroplex in terms of a sound football team. And, you know, I mean, if a guy's going to say that and we can keep the momentum going, then I'd be happy to say that I would be glad to do a bowl game episode, and I would do everything in my power to make sure that happens.
Well, that's saying a lot. If we can get beer sold at the stadium, it would be a complete team. It would be a complete experience. But so let me ask you.
By the way, Ashton, this is the Evan interview tonight. I'm just kind of standing back and letting him ask. He's so excited to talk to you. He just
I love the show, and Harry keeps pointing at me because I've got a list of questions here, and I'm actually writing down what people are saying. I'm also the guy that runs the board and the computer.
I just wanted you to know I'm here, man. I'm here.
Hey,
I'm here for you.
I got you, man. Hey, I'm a talker, so if you want to get those questions in, you better just cut me off because I will just start talking, which, my whole thing is, you know, my editor makes fun of me all the time. My interviews, I'll ask a question in the interview, and he can hear me, you know, off camera, obviously, and then I'll ask maybe three more questions in that one question, and the players will look at me tonight and be like, whoa, did he even, wait, what's the first question? You know, I think the first time I interviewed Zach Orr, he was like, wait, whoa, what the hell are we at? Okay, you know, and just kind of laughed because I basically asked him three more questions. So, yeah, I mean.
Okay, I'm done. Harry's got a question for you now. So.
Okay, I had to ask you a question because, and I got to visit with you a little bit in New Orleans. We had a good time. But can you talk a little bit about the DeSoto episode and getting to go down there? That was one of the more interesting episodes is following Zach.
Was that the Tulane episode?
Maybe leading up to it.
But yeah, I think it was first half of the Tulane episode.
It was episode five, which was coming off the bye week going into the Tulane game. Yeah,
but I thought that was neat to get to go to a high school that's, gosh, they're number one in the nation right now.
Yeah.
Follow Zach. Can you talk a little bit? I think that was kind of an interesting story.
Yeah. You know, I had talked to Eric Capper and I had talked about, you know, hey, you know, week one or week two, I started planning for the bye weeks. I thought that, hey, you know, does anybody do anything really cool during the bye week? And actually, there was a lot of people who did some cool things. And I kind of almost had to, like, choose. And, you know, we've got another bye week surprise for the last bye week. I'm not going to give anything away, but there's going to be some cool segments to come out of that week for sure, winning or losing. And we were talking, and you know, I just started putting two and two together, and I was like, well, hey, it'd be great if Zach Orr can go watch his two little brothers play high school football on the bye week. And I texted Zach, and he was like, yeah, we've got a home game, and I'm going to go to it. It's like, oh, okay, story right there, you know. And it's not even really a story. It's just, let me follow you around. Let me go hang out with you. So, you know, he and I went to DeSoto. We went to the stadium, obviously, you know, and he just took me around, and I love that kid. I mean, I really do. He's a really, really good guy. I mean, he's a cooperative young man. He's a great football player, comes from a really good family, and so I'm happy to hang out with the guy and try to give him some exposure, really, and maybe hopefully that'll help him get to the next level, which, you know, I think we all hope he can make. And it was really cool. I mean, we went to DeSoto, and I didn't know that they were number one. I'll be flat out honest. I had no idea. You know, high school polls always feel kind of weird. You look at multiple polls, and he told me that day, and I kind of looked at him like, are you serious? You kidding me? He's like, no, you know, some of the polls, they're number one. And they got this kid, Desmond White. And I was like, all right, well, let's go. You know, this is about you and your brothers. And I want to put the camera down and watch this kid play. And we went, and I just hung out on the sidelines, and he just loved being back there. You know, it was really cool to see a guy that, you know, Zach's a quiet dude, but he comes out of the shell, and it's really fun to see because, you know, he's just a good dude. You know, he's just a good guy. And you know, he comes from a strong family, obviously, and the Oler family is great to hang out with, and Terry and Rita, and it was just really cool to go back there and see him get so excited to watch Chris and Nick play. And, you know, Chris is wearing his number 35, and he's a middle linebacker, and, you know, Nick doesn't have the body for middle linebacker, so he plays safety, and, you know, he's obviously a pretty highly rated recruit. So, you know, it was really cool to go back there, and I had never been to a DeSoto football game, and that wasn't even at DeSoto. You know, it was at South Grand Prairie Field, and we went there and hung on the sidelines, and it was cool. And then, you know, obviously Will Wright, Jimerson, and Marshall show up, and all of a sudden we have you know, there was a lot of stuff that was left on the cutting room floor, actually. There was a really cool conversation with them, those guys at halftime, about UNP winning, and really I couldn't even fit it in there because the segment was already so long, and I've only got, you know, 23 minutes of content that I can air each week, so something's got to get left out. But it was really cool, and they were, you could tell the excitement that they had about the program in general, because they were talking shop at halftime, you know, about North Texas and winning, you know, and this is coming off a Georgia loss, even, you know, a game that they were tied in. So, you know, that whole experience was really cool, and it was just really fun to see a guy just kind of hang out on his off day. You know, same with Daniel Pryor, it was just like, what do you do on your off day? You know, and he just goes and hangs out with his dog. You know, Derek Thompson made a joke with me at practice one day. He said, you guys made Daniel Pryor look like his wife left him, and all he got left was his dog.
Well, hey.
That was really funny.
Well, we mentioned it on the thing earlier. We think that Daniel Pryor got that dog from Nathan Toon's backyard. That dog looks like Ray, man. We already discussed that.
Yeah, before you came on,
you might want to do some investigative reporting on that.
Yeah, I'll check out the legend of Buddy the dog.
Okay. Well, hey, a couple other things here. People were asking about. You've gotten a lot of old players. You know, previous year players. Is there going to be more? Or you kind of these, you know, Patrick Cobbs, and, you know, is that the same crew you're going to have? You kind of going through the season, or are you still having touch with any of the other players?
Yeah. You know, right now we're kind of on watch to see who's going to come back in town for certain games, who's going to be in certain cities when we go there. A couple of guys haven't aligned up schedule-wise that I would have liked to have gotten. You know, we go to certain places. For instance, I went to the Ohio game, and we were going to try to get Craig Robertson because they had a home game in Cleveland that week. So that would have been really cool, but he couldn't get out of his obligation with the team. So we really couldn't do it. And, you know, unfortunately, I've got to come back and turn a show around, you know, pretty short order. So that didn't really work out that great. But, yeah, I mean, ideally, historical profiles are going to happen. There's a couple in the works right now. You know, there's a couple. For the fans of North Texas who have been around, who've been following the team for 10, 15 years and know about the 100 years of football and the 100 years and the people who've come through here in the 100 years, I hope that they're going to – I mean, I think they're going to be pretty happy with some of the future segments we got, and revisiting some legends and talking to some guys. You know, that's definitely a goal of mine. And, you know, as people come back in town, we're going to try to grab them. And we were lucky enough to get a lot of those guys at the 100-year celebration. And that was one of my favorite pieces, actually, just to hear guys like Hartman and Booger and Brewster talk about, you know, just loving UNT. And, yep. You know, I would have loved to talk to each of those guys for about an hour, but, you know, unfortunately I didn't have that much time. But if everything goes as planned, we'll be talking to some former players pretty soon, hopefully.
All right. Well, hey, one of the other things that people were asking about, will this be available for like a DVD, download, iTunes, something after the season's over?
You know, if the demand is high, which I've heard that from somebody else. I got an email from a buddy of mine who's somebody at his work was talking about it. And he's like, yeah, my friend produces that show. And he's like, oh, I need to get the DVDs of that. And my friend was like, I don't know if they're going to sell them because they hadn't really been talked about yet because, you know, the show's not over yet. But, yeah, I mean, ideally, that would be something that myself and the department will sit down and figure out if it makes sense. I've never been in a situation where I've only done one program a couple times, and at the end of the season, there wasn't DVDs that were sold, but I was really thinking that there should have been. So that's definitely something I'm going to try to push as well at the end of the season, because I would love to see. If people want it, then I want to give the people what they want, really. So,
or think about the cool thing about a DVD is all the stuff that you had to cut out. You can do some outtakes.
Director's cut.
Exactly.
Beyond the Green After Dark.
Dance team gone wild.
Exactly. It's definitely something. Behind the scenes, and just outtakes or funny moments of practice, stuff like that. There might be some segments or some outtakes that we can use that might be kind of funny, as a little blurb. And, as long as I get some time out of the season to kind of put something like that together, I'd be happy to pursue that. And, if the requests keep coming, then, you guys let me know if people keep, hounding you guys about it or you hear about more questions like that. Because if the demand is there, then there should be no reason why we don't pursue that.
I had to mention this, and Evan and I, actually it was Evan's idea, said, hey, we need to make sure we watch all of these episodes. And I had seen most of them and he'd seen a few. We said, let's get them all because we want to talk about this. And we were just fortunate to be able to have you on the show. But I got to tell you, the one thing that stands out to me about the whole series up to this point is how cool the coaching staff, and I say cool, it's kind of like, not just cool, like cool, but inspirational, pushing the players, demanding excellence, but also listening. I think it gives you an insight into the coaching staff that you just wouldn't otherwise get. And I mean, I'm talking about Scledaney, Chico, Mac, of course. I mean, you get to see a lot of Mac, but I really think, that's as big a selling point as anything else in the show, is that it kind of gives the human side to these coaches and how they're out there working and trying to build this thing. I think about the Georgia halftime, the emotions that they were showing. They're not just here to take a paycheck. They're here to build this program. And it really made me feel good about the coaching staff that we have at North Texas right now.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Even some of the new guys have really impressed me. Walters, Perry. These guys you're right. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, it seems like they're not just there cashing a paycheck, and they're not just trying to make a stop and go to another program or something like that. I think that everybody sees what Mac's trying to do, and everybody's bought in. I mean, that's really how I would sum it up. Everybody sees that. You know what? We are going to get this thing better. It's going to get better. And it's kind of an ongoing theme. They got the hit six thing that they keep talking about. And the coaching staff relate too, which is really interesting to me. Walters and Grant talk to these guys, and Noah, they talk to these guys like, they've got some youth to them, so that they can talk to them like boys, they can joke around at times, but then they know when to hit that pedal and get it going. And I appreciate that, as a fan and as a somewhat of a student of the game now, again, after being on a few sidelines for some years and being around different coaching staffs, I could pick out 10 that are awesome and 10 that are terrible, and know, well, that's why they lost those games, and we've been in every single game this season. And it's crazy to me, that we have a legitimate chance to be, a one-loss team right now, and that one loss would have been to Georgia. It's obviously something is happening. It's the proof's in the pudding, really. And I think the coaching staff has really developed a mindset with these kids that this can happen. This doesn't have to be the 08, the 07, the 06, 09, the 10. This doesn't have to be those North Texas teams. And there's no reason why they should even think about that. New home, you know, new stadium, new everything. And with that sense, and it's time to just kind of out with the old and with the new kind of perspective. And I think that the players buy in, you know, against Tulane, you know, you guys saw it, you know, we had to leave some of it out, obviously, but Spadani sat his players down and he just went across the board and he's like, you know, he demanded respect and he demanded excellence and he demanded execution. And they went out the rest of the game and unfortunately lost, but that wasn't the defense's fault. The defense were out there and played ball. And I think that that's a really good indication of where the team's at, you know, where the program's at. You know, they've got coaches that are going to get these guys going. And the players really just seem to just really buy in. Like, you know, these are kids we're talking about, but they still look at the coaches and they just, and I think they listen. And the coaches don't, you know, the coaches ride them and the coaches push them. And the practices are really fun to watch because if you mess up, you'll sit, bottom line. And they demand execution. And I think, like, I think you said it best, though. They're not just there to just catch a paycheck and, oh, this is my stop on the way to another gig. That's not the case. And I truly, truly believe that. I'm not just talking about that as a member of the program because I'm obviously not a part of the program. But, you know, as a fan, it's refreshing.
All right, let me one thing we need to ask you, because we ask of a lot of people that come on. Let me tell me your favorite North Texas athletic memory.
My favorite North Texas
memory? Yeah, like athletic memory, not the threesome in the dorm or anything like that. We're talking like North Texas athletics, you know, bowl games you went to, all that kind of stuff.
I've got a strange one. I don't really know. Are you talking about like a certain like one play?
Or anytime. Yeah, you know, like for, I have to, like one of the things, it wasn't while I was in school there, but you know, that Middle Tennessee thing there. I was in school when Mayer was quarterback, and unfortunately, my biggest memory was remembering listening on the radio to the one-armed defensive back that picked him off. But, you know, things like that stick with you. So tell me what yours was.
That was Boise.
One of my favorite moments, and Hank Dickinson asked me the other day, favorite moment in North Texas football history. And, you know, I'm going to go football on this one. I don't really know why this one sticks out so much, but it's Casey Fitzgerald's 80 or 99-yard touchdown.
That's a pretty good
one. That is a pretty good one.
I don't mean just being on the deck that game and hanging out with some friends and just, you know, it was a really good day and it was just a really awesome play. And you just don't see 99-yard touchdowns happen very often. And when they do, it's an eruption. I mean, it's like a pick six.
Yeah.
But this one just had so, and I, Casey Fitzgerald is, and there's a guy that I am going to have on this show at some point in time this year. I hope you can mark my words on that. He's one of my favorite players ever. I was already graduated, so it wasn't like I was there during that time. I just love the way that guy played. I love his walk-on story and everything really about him.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's the one that always stands out to me. It was a really cool moment and a really cool play.
Yeah, those were good times with Casey. He was a great guy and a great player from North Texas. Just happened to be there when things weren't going so well. So it was a tough time to be playing for the Mean Green. Hey, real quick before we wrap this up, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, feedback or, you know, advertising or anything, how do they get hold of you?
Best way to do it is an email. My email address. I live on my phone as a producer, I think should. But, you know, my email address is Ashton, A-S-H-T-O-N, 37, the number 37, at gmail.com. That's Ashton37 at gmail.com. And, that's the best way to get a hold of me. Like I said, I'm always checking my email. I'm always on my phone. So I'm happy to respond to any questions. And, I mean, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, when I saw the email from Harry today, it was a pretty cool moment, honestly, for me to be like, oh, okay, somebody wants to talk to me for a change instead of me talking to anybody else, honestly. So that was really cool. It's really been a privilege so far. You know, any hurdle that I might have to jump over in a regular season that might, you know, be frustrating so far isn't really as frustrating as it normally would because it's North Texas, you know, and it's been really, really fun to do and produce a show, write a show, all that stuff. I do a lot of the shooting myself as well. And it's just fun to shoot these moments. And, you know, I think on Saturday, it was a really cool one when Trice got the really cool punt return, the most unlikely of punt returns. Afterward, he's back on the sidelines, and you'll see in this week's episode, he starts talking with the fans and doing some North Texas stuff. And, you know, that kid just loves to play football, and he loves North Texas. And I kind of pulled the camera down for a second and just kind of sat back as a fan and just kind of watched it. And I was like, that's a really cool moment. And
that's
to be able to
stuff.
Do that is just really fun. And it's been a privilege so far.
We appreciate you for doing it, and hopefully we can have you back on a little bit later on, and we can keep talking about bowls and having a successful season and really enjoy the show and are promoting it each and every way we can, because I think it's something that fans are really, really going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, anything you need from me, you guys know how to get a hold of me. I'm happy to come on, answer any questions, maybe even talk about some critiques anybody might have or anything like that. I'm all ears, man. I'm happy to talk to any fan, any fellow fans that might have a question or an opinion. You know, I'm happy to answer it.
Awesome.
Well, hey, we appreciate it. So keep up the good work. We'll be all looking for it tomorrow. And, of course, you can all listen out there and find it on the links on the website.
And what time will it be on tomorrow, just so if people are looking for it?
Tomorrow is on Fox Sports Southwest. It's at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And, you know, for all people local or, you know, really in Texas have Fox Sports Southwest, that is a set time from here on out.
Oh, good.
4 o'clock. And then they're going to rerun it on Friday at either 2:30, or 3 o'clock. And that's always going to vary. But Thursdays at 4, you can lock that in.
Yeah, that's where I think I got the DVR set. But it is also available on YouTube, so it's easy to watch.
We've got it linked on the GoMeanGreen.com board. So if you want to go, you can catch the YouTube versions. And there's a link to the main launching pad site on the athletic department, too.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and the school is you guys have obviously seen, but the school has created a pretty nice little page that has each episode, part one and part two, that you can go to from the, you know, I think Mean Green Sports / Beyond the Green, and you can see all the episodes there. That obviously just makes you the YouTube page, but it's a really well done page, and you know, I think they've done a good job with promoting it, and they seem to be really happy with it so far as well. So
that's great. Well, hey, Ashton,
we're happy that it's good.
We'll let you get back to editing and getting the episode ready, the next one. So we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care,
awesome,
man.
Guys, all right, man. Take care. All right. Have a good night.
Bye bye.
I messed
that up. Every time.
I know, man. It's hard to get that cut that off. All right, man. So that was good stuff. I mean, really, it is. It's done really well. It's good to watch. You know the players, know the team, know the background. It makes it even more enjoyable come Saturday.
And knowing he's a fan and he went to
that's
school.
That's what's so great. How many times do you always say, man, I wish we just had people working, doing the stuff that was actually a fan that feels our pain, that feels our spirit on this, and he does. So it's great to see, and he's doing a great job. So, with that, Harry, you got anything else? We got Louisiana
Tech.
Beat La Tech. That's
God
all.
Dang it, we got to win this game, man.
It is. It's a big game for us, and La Tech knows we're coming, and La Tech has had their struggles as well this year.
Yeah, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, the road has been tough, but this is a huge opportunity, Evan, with the article from Goose Goslin. Winning against Mutz in such great fashion. We got to take the bull by the horns this week, so I'm really hoping for a W.
The dog by the ears? No. What is it? Louisiana Tech? Sorry. I was trying to flow right through there. We just crashed and burned right there at the end, man.
Well, that's
53
the way it always
minutes
goes.
In, we fall apart. All right. So
thanks
with
to our chat room guys, too.
Yes, we appreciate you guys.
Some of them, not all of them.
Yes, about half of you can seem to focus on what we're talking about. The rest of you are talking about God knows what. But enjoyed it. Thanks for the listening. Take care. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.